Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
The business of Dylan Gabriel and the business of Shador Sanders coming up in just a few seconds here. Should be noted, I've heard from one member of the six-team morning show on 92.3 The Fan. The man himself, Mitch Spinell, saying he did not eat the donuts. He did not know of the donuts. And I will say publicly, he was a guy I never really had any concerns about.
That doesn't track.
No. What I mean is, I don't think if he was the guy that found the donuts and he knew they weren't his, I don't think he would. Now, if someone had presented them as their donuts, I do think that would be a case he would have eaten them, but he claims he did not see them at all.
I felt target one for you. This is my feel. You tell me if I felt wrong. I thought it was Mitch and then Owen.
No, it's Owen, then Ken. Not profiling. Then Ken, then Jeff Thomas, and that's about it.
Listen, yeah. I don't want to stir the pot or do anything here. I really don't.
Yeah, we're definitely above that at this station. We never do that.
Well, not what I'm trying to do in making the statement I'm about to make. This is how I see things. Okay, I can't shut this brain off. It just goes, and I just have to let it go. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We have someone among us that claims that he was there after hours. And definitely had the opportunity to eat said donuts. That has not acquitted himself from eating said donuts yet, and that is Mac Robinson.
All right, now I will say this because Mac is itching to talk now. This is the get out of jail free card.
We didn't know he stayed after long as he did until he admitted to us an hour ago that he stays after, and because he works like 12 hours a day.
If you saw the donuts, hard worker. This happens, right? You see donuts, maybe you think free donuts.
And I just thought he brought himself into that equation of potentially being the person that ate the donuts, and this is why the morning show has no idea what you're talking about.
If this is Mitch, I haven't heard from the other guys. If this, I want to give you the free out. If you told me right now, we are such good friends, I think so highly of you. If you told me right now, I'm sorry, I took the donuts, that's on me. Even if you just threw them away, I would give you the Peterlin pass.
It'd be funny if I found out you threw them away. Wasteful, though. Wasteful. In this economy?
No, if you ate, I'd rather you eat them than throw them out.
In this economy?
But I'd say, you know what, Mac? I got love for you. If somebody just owned it, I would immediately forgive them.
Have you texted anyone in the morning show or just talked about him publicly?
No. They come to me. That's how this one works.
That's not how it works.
That's exactly how this works.
I don't think you don't want answers. If you haven't texted them, you don't really want answers.
I think a guilty man doesn't reach out. Mitch reached out. Mitch gave me the denial.
You want Jake to call him one by one and be like, hey, really quick. It's the weekend already for you guys. You've worked very hard all week.
It's a long, beautiful
really nice,
weekend.
Really nice shows from the morning show.
Long, beautiful weekend.
Lima was on fire this morning.
I want your conscience to eat at you.
Hey, Lima, you got two young kids. You had a really awesome week at work. You really done
a great job this week.
Did you eat those donuts?
No.
As he's trying to put his kids, you know, and spend family time with them?
Don't want any of it. I want them to think about what they've done. And then come to me with the honesty. Mac, did you or did you not eat or throw away the donuts?
I did not. I did not know that you had them up there. And also, I went to the establishment that I am known for frequenting.
Gentlemen's Club.
No.
Okay. The different one.
The restaurant that I frequent
burritos.
Often. Yes. After
different
work.
Different ways.
I believe you. And you are no longer a suspect. Because that's how we do things. We take it. There's trust. It's the whole point of the donut exercise. There's trust. We're in the trust tree with the nest.
I trust no one.
Well, I mean, now I don't trust the morning show.
I trust zero. You tell me you didn't eat those donuts. It makes me believe you're even guiltier. Not you, Mac. Not you. But like the text from Mitch, now I'm getting a little suspicious.
Mitch is an honest man. He's many things, but he's not dishonest. I will say that. Right? Fair, Mac?
That is very fair.
All right. Now, with this being said, this is the business of Dylan Gabriel, and it's the business of Shador Sanders. Obviously, we've had a lot of conversations about Shador being the backup, Dylan being the starter. What does this mean? Is there more pressure on Dylan? Whether we're already in a quarterback controversy, all that. But it's interesting. The two conversations on the two quarterbacks this week have been, one, can you open up the playbook for Dylan Gabriel to throw the ball down the field more?
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you know anything about Dylan Gabriel, you know that's not his forte. That's not what he was here to be brought for. And the other thing has been, well, but Dylan's, but Shador's brought this circus, and you just can't have the circus around anymore, as if this was a surprise. Dylan Gabriel profiles in the NFL as a checkdown Charlie, and Shador is a social media influencing quarterback. None of what I saw on Sunday, that last Sunday, surprised me with Dylan Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect, we've opened up the offense and now he's turned into Aaron Rodgers from 10 years ago. And the same thing with Shador. I don't expect him to turn into, I don't know, Dylan Gabriel overnight.
They've gotten what they've asked for is kind of what you're spelling out here.
Yes.
Like they've gotten you signed up for this ride. Now the ride is happening. You knew that this ride was going on. And it's, here's why I would defend the Browns just briefly on this. Just the idea that they haven't really shown us that they're against what they've signed up for in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it comes to Dylan Gabriel, like that's part of what Stefanski loves. Stefanski has not shied away from loving that part of Dylan Gabriel, and he's obviously utilized that part of Dylan Gabriel. And then even when it comes to Shador and the circus, you know, listen, a lot of people have made it a circus or whatever you want to call it, but it's not as if the Browns are sitting there and saying, oh, it's become too much. In fact, you're almost going in the other direction. When people say trade Shador immediately, they've scoffed at that.
So, this should be, other than the fact that I think Kevin is uncomfortable with Shador and having a personality, what Jason Lloyd said on the Scoop City podcast, where the Browns, whoever that could be, fear Shador becoming another Baker.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Browns, I would be surprised if the Browns were surprised. I think fans might be surprised.
I mean, well, you got, well, surprised in what aspect? I thought you were talking about the circus.
I think
if you didn't see the circus or the attention, I'm going to call it attention. If you didn't see the attention around Shador coming, you're just an idiot.
Okay, on both fronts. One, I think they think there's something there with Dylan Gabriel that isn't, meaning he becomes Steve Young, throwing the ball down the field all the time. And then two, I think the Shador detractors or Browns fans who were maybe not on the Shador bandwagon, I think they thought once he became the backup, they wouldn't have to think about or hear about him again. And that's just not how that works.
All right. Well, now you put me in a hard spot because I don't want to call Browns fans idiots. But the people that thought that it would just go away, then you didn't pay attention to anything that happened with Shador already. Like that's some people think this is a bug. I look at it as a feature with Shador. So I don't want to paint that in any sort of negative way. But like the attention's always going to be, you're Dion's kid. It's not going anywhere.
Well, and that's the other thing. I think this week people have started to paint Shador in a light that is very NFL centric and a very stuffy way of looking at quarterbacks, as if Shador has become a distraction. It's nonsensical. Shador, although I know he encourages with a social media chain and the kind of coverage that he generates, right? Because mm-hmm. Let's be honest, Shador does equate to clicks. It's as simple as
for
that.
Sure.
He is a lightning rod, both good and bad, no matter what happens, no matter if he does anything good or bad. But like this idea that he's become a distraction or it's too much for the Browns, then that's on the Browns. That is like, if the Browns are like, man, this is really tough to navigate. Yeah, you could have figured that one out like 5 months ago.
I don't think they think it's tough to navigate or are really disheartened if you talk to the people at the very, very top of the Browns, and I mean the Haslams. Like it's funny how they, like whoever told Jason about the fear of being Baker or whatever it is, Jimmy Haslam loved the attention that Baker Mayfield brought. I call him Jerry Jones Jr. for a reason. He loves the idea of people talking about the Browns, people discussing the Browns. And this was one of the only ways you were going to get people to talk about the Browns this season. So I don't think the Haslams at the very top, I don't think they're fearful in any regard with this. I think they're getting exactly what they wanted on this. When they turn on ESPN, when they turn on Fox Sports 1, they turn on the big stations, people are discussing the Browns. They're discussing Shador. I think I think if you talk to Haslam, that's what they'd go for. I think the fear side of this maybe is in the other people that are close to the top of the Browns but aren't the tippy top.
I'd be surprised if this bugs Andrew Berry at all.
I was talking about Stefanski.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah, he gets bothered by everything.
And I think that's where if Stefanski feels like Shador has become a distraction, I guess my problem
but
is
Stefanski doesn't have power to do anything at this point.
But I think my problem is Shador's become a distraction because I don't think it's Shador. Shador doesn't, yes, he can absolutely get more people talking about him by miming and stuff like that. But like, he's not out there getting in legal trouble, right? He's not out there being accused of what certain dudes in that locker room have been accused of. He's not coming out and saying inflammatory things. So like, I don't get Kevin's side of this other than there's just a lot of natural noise that comes with Shador, at which point, oh well, he's a member of the team. This happens. Miles gets himself into Dutch at least once a year with something he says.
I think
lightning rod of Deshaun as well.
I think Stefanski just wants an incredibly boring locker room. Most coaches probably want an incredibly boring locker room, but that's just not how the NFL works, and it's really not how this Browns team has ever worked around Stefanski. They've always been a lightning rod. Maybe that's where his reprieve or where he's searching for a reprieve comes from. He's like the meme of the Popeyes worker that's just been overworked and is sitting on the bench. I'm just tired. I'm tired at this point. I've been every year. I get some sort of controversy every year. I get Baker into OBJ. Then I deal with OBJ's dad. I get Jarvis attached to that, and then I get Deshaun Watson, and now I get Shador. When it should be like, I think he just might be the Popeyes worker. He's tired.
Does he just not know what being an NFL head coach is?
I mean, that's where someone needs to like open up his eyes a little bit and say this does happen basically everywhere that isn't like the Tennessee Titans. This happens
Philadelphia.
Everywhere.
Philadelphia was 4-0, and AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, and Saquon Barkley apparently have been having some sort of war, and they were 4-0 after winning the Super Bowl.
But there are sleepier cities than others, right? Like, one thing that's great about Cleveland and great about this and why this station works is because Browns fans are awesome and Browns fans care a ton. One thing with Baker, for instance, Tampa Bay, sleepy city. Sleepy city. That media doesn't go after you. That media throws you softballs. You're not really dealing with much. No one's coming after you in any sort of way. The questions you get asked are all softball questions. Like, there are softer spots in the NFL than what Cleveland is.
I'm trying to think if I can rebut that, but I don't know. I don't really know that much about Tampa Bay. 216-474-0092. Has Shador become a distraction? And I do think that leads us to what I think is a tricky question. I think Stefanski needs a definitive win, not like a moral victory. He needs a win this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could say the same darn thing about Dylan Gabriel.
They both need wins, but I like to play the who needs the win more card. We don't get to just sit there and say both. Pinkston said both, and you know what infuriated me? I think Stefanski needs to win more than Dylan Gabriel this weekend. I think Stefanski needs to get back in the good graces of the fan base. I think he needs to start to stack wins, as they say. I think he needs... Last week was bad for Stefanski. It wasn't that bad for Dylan Gabriel. It was bad for Stefanski. I think Stefanski needs this one.
So I think this is the kind of game that if it turns into a blowout loss... So like last week, fans came back and it was time...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Time to turn on Kevin again. Right, the Green Bay game got you a reprieve. Then you had the Detroit game, which no one expected you to win. And then you just got bounced this last week in London. People turned on Kevin because it's the Steelers. Because you're coming up.
This was a rough week for Kevin in many ways.
It is.
Bruce Arians publicly speaking the way he did, you got just torched by one of the better coaches the NFL's seen.
I'd love to get that guy on the show one day, but
would it help if he? Would he appear or have a more likely chance of appearing if Stefanski continues to be not great, or if Stefanski turns it around? I'm going to go with the first one.
I have no idea. What I will say is, I think this is the kind of game where fans who are thinking we've got something legit in Dylan. If Dylan has a lesser game than he did this last week and you lose, I would be surprised if we aren't hearing Shador's name more from fans on Sunday or on Monday.
We're going to hear it before even kickoff happens. Like if I'm Dylan, he just has to understand two games. Kevin's not moving away from you after two games. There's no chance that happens. He loves you too much.
Is this week bigger for Stefanski, or is this week bigger for Dylan Gabriel? And the road not taken for the Cleveland Browns, is it truly a missed opportunity? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Daryl Ryder coming up in 15 minutes time. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin back on Afternoon Drive. We have a source. Coming up at 6:20, we have someone who says...
Okay, hold on. People really think this is like an important Browns thing here. No. I think we need to do like the caveat. It's a different source.
Yeah, this is very important.
The difference, it's important in a different way.
Yeah, it's very, very important that we get down to the case of who took or ate my six-pack of donuts that was only here for not even 24 hours. They knew they didn't buy them. Anyway, we have a source. They'll be able to talk to us at 6:20 about the case of the missing donuts. We're gonna have to grill this person at 6:20 because I don't know that...
I don't think grilling is going to be a thing that this person does. I think this person is just going to flat out just say it.
We got to make sure it's honest. I mean, if I'm going to start...
We have bright lights on us, but yeah. I don't think we're going to be able to turn the bright lights on them and be like an interrogation to get the info out.
I'm pretty confident in my interrogation abilities.
This person will just tell us. I don't think we're going to have to really work hard here.
I think it's more we're going to vet. Maybe vet's the better word.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, but 6:20.
Early payoff in that segment is what I'm promising you guys. Early payoff.
Well, we need that. But the question, then we're going to have to ask ourselves, do we believe what we've heard? Right?
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, because we can't do our own research here, so we're really going to have to trust the source at 6:20.
And you know me, I don't believe anybody.
But will you believe this person?
Probably not. If what tracks with me, I probably not.
What if they say they actually saw it?
That's better.
Okay.
That's better.
Not they heard it through the grapevine. They saw it with their own
eyes. I don't even know how this person would have figured it out. I'm going to be honest with you. I have no idea how this person would have figured it out. We'll find out at 6:20.
Now, that being said, Jackson Dart was good enough to win the football game last night. Mm-hmm. Last night was really Cam Scataboo's night, but it's turned into Jackson Dart is now Eli Manning 2.0.
And so I saw you tweeting about this, and I know Ken was in a very similar frame of reference. Was there a hesitation to even want to talk about this today or no?
No, because I don't know. It's tough. I understand the point that people are making. You need a quarterback. This was thought to be a bad quarterback draft, and you could have been one of the teams to trade up for Jackson Dart. At the same point, it's like, can you look at pick 5, pick 33, pick 35, pick 67 and go, yeah, I'd rather one of those guys not be here for two games, maybe three games of Jackson Dart, who's looked, again, okay. Yes, the Giants have won, mm-hmm. but he's looked okay.
All right, so the saving grace in that conversation is the idea that it's only been three games. And I heard Colin Cowherd today. He already proclaimed that Jackson Dart, franchise quarterback. The Giants found their franchise quarterback with just last night. He opened his show saying franchise quarterback Jackson Dart. There are a lot of people. I listen to The Fan in New York. They're making similar claims there as well. And they're not understanding the three games portion of this. So I'm not going to sit here and say that they have their franchise quarterback. But what I do think is interesting, and I think that it matters more than if it was just a star like Scataboo, for instance, that they found in the third round. It's like, well, why didn't you take Scataboo? Well, the difference here is that Kevin Stefanski went to the pro day for Ole Miss, saw him with his own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had him hosted here for a visit because they wanted to see him with their own eyes. In a class where you needed quarterbacks, they sat there and they judged him as harshly as you can with these quarterbacks. Because remember, they're all about doing the due diligence, right? Everything's due diligence. Well, their due diligence, the early returns on this one, is that their due diligence on Jackson Dart stunk. Wasn't good. Now, again, they might end up being right in this one. That's where Stefanski has to hope long-term that he is right. But I will hold them accountable in this regard. When you look at a quarterback and you say, when you have drafts everywhere, you could pick a number 2, you could pick it what turned into be number 5, you could pick at number 33 and 36 to trade up to get into the teens or the early 20s, you're telling everyone you did your due diligence. Jackson Dart isn't it. And if he turns out to be it, then yes, you did swing and miss.
I think right now, Jackson Dart is benefiting from the same thing that Dylan Gabriel benefited from. where the quarterback previously was such a dud, and it, and things were so bleak in New York, just the way they were here when you moved to Dylan Gabriel, that there were no expectations. Like, people had already written the Giants off for the season, and now that they're, to me...
He scored 34 points, though, Nick, against the team that won the Super Bowl last year while not having his top two wide receivers in Malik Nabers, who's out for the season, and Darius Slayton, who isn't there.
He didn't throw for 200 yards.
Yeah, but he put up 34 points.
No, he didn't. Cam Scadaboo had 3 touchdowns. I'm going to give the credit to the guy that scored the touchdowns, not the guy who just didn't screw the game up. That's like, it's the same thing with Dylan.
Oh, man, I don't know. That seems harsh on Jackson Dart in that game.
I thought he looked okay. I thought he looked fine. No, fine's a better word. Like, do I think he looked better than Dylan
Gabriel? That's a harsh grade, in my opinion. Okay.
Like, what special thing? I think he's tough as hell, by the way. I give him credit. I think toughness. That is an A1 trait right there. He's got a nice arm. Like, he's a nice player. But if he was 1-2, if they had lost last night by a field goal, I don't think anyone's talking about Jackson Dart the same way. I think we're doing the thing that we do when young quarterbacks win, and we're putting way too much emphasis on that. I think much like Dylan Gabriel, he gets credit for just being better than Russell Wilson. I don't think we should overreact to this point. I mean,
I thought it was impressive. I was impressed by
65% completion percentage, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Like, I don't remember what his ADOT is, but generally pretty
well. He did. He had a pretty decent game 1. He stunk game 2, and then the game last night. And like, I obviously I'm focusing a lot on last night, because last night is the game that we all watched in full, and we all sat in front of our TVs and really got to sit and watch him play a decent amount. And I left impressed. But it doesn't mean they have their franchise quarterback. And this is why I'm not killing the Browns today. I would kill the Browns if I thought that Jackson Dart was the franchise quarterback, and oh boy, you really did miss in a big way. That's yet to be written. But that was a draft. And the important note of this, that was a draft where they hosted him. They went to his pro day. They did all the due diligence in the world, and they walked away and said, no, thank you.
But here's the thing. If the Browns were right on Jackson Dart, no one's going to circle back and be like, glad we dodged that bullet. The same people today who did the meltdown after 3 games. Again, it was fine. I'm impressed with him in that he is better than I thought he was going to be as a rookie. That doesn't mean I see like something special there. Like, when you watched him last night, did you see special? I saw some gutsy stuff that I liked. But I like, same thing with Cam Scadaboo. Like, Cam Scadaboo, if I need 7 yards, is a lot of fun. If I need 3 yards, is a lot of fun. If I need 40 yards, okay.
He had a couple throws to Wandale Robinson that I didn't know he could make. So the big question with Dart, and Dart was obviously very polarizing. We talked a lot about him leading up to the draft, but he's polarizing because it's like, how much of what Ole Miss does can translate? You know, like, they get the high-powered offenses, and you do all that, and it's like, how much of that will actually translate to the NFL? And some of the throws he made last night, I thought, definitely translated.
216-474-0092. Are you maybe blaming the Browns today for not having drafted Jackson Dart? I'm not saying this won't become a valid conversation. I'm not saying that I don't understand that this is a bad look for people who need a quarterback, and we're choosing between Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, a 3rd and 5th rounder, and Jackson Dart theoretically was right there. I also look at this and go, yeah, I'm going to need a little bit more. I need to see like a special quarterback before I really start to. There's one more thing. I remember like 5 guys on social media that wanted Jackson Dart. I don't remember anybody in the media calling for him, and I don't remember too many guys in the draft community pounding the table for him either.
I thought he was like the consensus 3rd quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone
thought... I thought there was a distinction there. It was like Cam Ward and Shedeur, and then there was a gap, and the gap started then with Jackson Dart.
But I don't remember anyone saying franchise quarterback. I don't remember anyone saying the Browns should draft him.
He still went in the 1st round, though. It's not as if he was perceived to be like some slacky quarterback, just a bad quarterback.
Do you remember anyone saying they should draft him?
No, I remember not the Browns. No, not specifically okay. The Browns. I didn't want them to draft him. But like, again, that's not the point. I'm not the one making the decision. Like, they're the ones going to his pro day. They're the ones getting up close and personal. Again, Stefanski went to his pro day. They hosted him here. They have the eyeballs on it. They're the pros. They're supposed to be able to identify this stuff. They clearly, I mean, again, it's too early to say they clearly missed on him, because who knows? Maybe it'll turn around and absolutely stink up the joint. But early returns for the Giants, Daboll looks right now like he saved his job.
Dylan Gabriel starting game 2. Shedeur is the backup. The Browns have thrown the dart at the dartboard. That wasn't great. We'll talk Jackson Dart as well. Daryl Ryder in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.